Well, as we've been hearing, the report calls for ongoing training and development for Catholic clergymen struggling against the burden of their vow of celibacy. That professional training, it says, should include what it describes as psychosexual development. So what does that mean exactly? To find out more, I spoke to the clinical psychologist, sex therapist and author Bettina Arndt. Her latest book is entitled What Men Want in Bed. We spoke a little earlier. First, can I get your perspective as a sex therapist and a clinical psychologist about how obligatory celibacy could be managed through something known as psychosexual development?
Yes, I'm not sure what they mean by that. Obviously, that would include discussions around the sort of power issues and the problems of being in a powerful but intimate relationship with young people, which is inevitable given the role that some priests play. And you know, talking around the sort of ethical issues there. But I don't know what you can do about teaching priests to anticipate the sort of frustrations involved in that role.
Well, what are your thoughts about celibacy as a notion? Is it something that is forcing people to go against their natural urges?
Well, it's obviously a very frustrating situation for many people, and it's always, and, you know, it's caused a lot of problems within the Catholic Church. But also in normal society, there are an awful lot of heterosexual married men who are in a state of involuntary celibacy, and let's not forget that. And they are forced to deal with it, and it's not something they anticipated in their marriages.
So in an institution like the Catholic Church, though, is enforced celibacy a recipe for disaster?
No, look, I think there are many, many Catholic priests who deal with this problem extremely well. And it's part of they anticipate this is going to be the situation they're in, and they cope with that very well. And that's the vast majority. We're only talking about a minority who really struggle with this.
So does this need to be the start of a conversation, though, about whether it's realistic for the Catholic Church to continue to require priest to take a vow of celibacy?
Well, I think it's important that we discuss those issues. And I mean, this is the Catholic Church decision whether they want that to be, you know, part of the way they operate. I'd like to think what we could be doing is helping men in that situation to have people to talk to about the frustrations that are involved. One of the things that worries me about this sort of the way this issue is discussed is that men, you know, a man who's struggling with it may feel he is in even a more vulnerable situation if he goes and talks to someone about how to cope with that. I mean, he'll be regarded immediately as a paedophile if he talks about the fact that he's finding it difficult to deal with young people who may be, you know, tempting him in some way.
So in broad terms, what do you understand psychosexual development to be, and how would you put that into a clinical context?
I'm not sure. I really don't know what they have in mind there, and I'm not quite sure how they propose to go about that. I mean, one would assume part of that is to talk about the fact that as a heterosexual male, you're going to have urges, you're going to have desires. There are options for dealing with that, you know, like masturbation, of course, which won't get you into trouble. But obviously there are situations where to act on those urges, it's totally inappropriate. I mean, that's the sort of thing you would want to discuss.
Broadly speaking, you're concerned that there's too much focus on the question of sexual abuse, aren't you? If it's fair,
yes,
to put it that way, you worry too about the amount of physical and emotional abuse that arises out of those imbalanced power relationships.
Absolutely. I just think as a society we're obsessed by sexual abuse. If you look at some of the reports that have been coming through on abuse in institutions, horrendous physical abuse of children, horrendous emotional abuse, and that doesn't seem to matter. The only thing matters is if a child gets touched in a sexual way. And I don't get that. I don't get why we're so distorting what are the real risks to children. And it's something to do with our inability as a society to deal with matters sexual.
But there is a problem. I mean, Francis Sullivan from the Truth, Justice and Healing Commission admits that the Catholic Church represents a third of the caseload that's currently before the Child Abuse Royal Commission.
Yes, look, I'm not saying there isn't a problem. And there are real issues of concern with regard to abuse of children, with regard to the abuse within the Catholic Church. I'm not denying that for one minute. I think it's really important we look carefully at that. But we are actually totally distorting the real risk to children in terms of sexual abuse, because most abuse takes place in the family, not in institutions. Children are far more at risk from family situations, and particularly from the growing risk of strangers being involved in the families where children are being raised, mum's boyfriend, partners of single mums. That is the new and ever-growing risk for children that is never discussed.
Bettina Arndt, thanks very much for talking to us.
Pleasure.
The clinical psychologist, sex therapist and author Bettina Arndt speaking to me there.